You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Getting the Most Out of Life. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Most people in the United States and in Canada and in the Caribbean consider themselves Christians. However, the commitment of those who call themselves Christians is often only lukewarm. This critical evaluation issued by the respected Barna Research Group is indeed a damning indictment of cultural Christianity. In the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we read of God's message to the church in Laodicea. Because you are lukewarm and because you are neither hot nor cold, the Lord says, I will spit you out of my mouth. God is very clear in his response to lukewarm Christianity. Through his prophet Micah, today God is speaking words of warning unto all who are easy believers and to all who are comfortable with casual commitment to Christ. Woe, the Lord says, to those who are at ease in Zion. Every hour of every day, like a roaring lion, the devil is prowling around looking for Christians and trying to cause them to become indifferent about their Christian faith. Satan uses many tools to try to trap us. He uses every angle to lure us, hoping to drag casual Christians into hell eternally. One of Satan's most effective methods of seduction and destruction is materialism. Materialism is when we permit our car, or our home, or our money, or our investments, or our hobbies, or our sports, or our favorite television programs to become more important in our lives than God. Ducks love water, butterflies seek sunshine. And for some reason, the devil is often successful in getting us to desire and to love our possessions more than we love our Lord. In the evening, we would sooner watch television than have a Bible-based devotion. And even though we go to church on Sunday morning, for the rest of the day, we often prefer to engage in secular activities, which are frequently so demanding that when Monday morning comes, we feel unrested and unprepared to begin the next week's work. You see, there is a very practical reason that God in His Ten Commandments asks us to rest on Sunday. Our loving Lord desires that we have an opportunity to get recharged for the next week. Now, the frightening thing about secularism and the lure of materialism is its subtleness. The false god of materialism can overtake and occupy our hearts so quietly that we don't even know what has happened. So then, for this reason, in His holy word, God reminds us that even though you and I may consider ourselves committed Christians, the attitude we have and the love we have for money and property and how we spend our time, especially on weekends, shamefully exposes our hypocrisy and our shallow Christianity. This is also the point that Jesus was making when the Bible says that one day a man came to Jesus and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do so that I may obtain eternal life? Now, after some introductory comments, Jesus said to the rich young man, If you wish to enter into life, then keep the commandments. Then the Bible says the man responded to Jesus and said, Which ones or which commandments? Jesus replied, You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. After having Jesus list these commandments, the rich young man was apparently unmoved. All these things, he said, I have kept, and so what am I still lacking, he asked. Then Jesus said to the rich man, If you wish to be complete, then go and sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Then said Jesus, Come and follow me. Oh, the Bible explains that when the rich young man heard these words of Jesus, that he should give up all that he owned and follow Jesus, he went away grieved, because the Bible explains this man owned much property. Now, tragically, the lesson that Jesus was teaching is all too often misunderstood. You see, Jesus was not actually demanding that this rich young man sell all that he had, and he is not asking you today to put your house up for sale, and he is not asking you to advertise your car in your local paper. What Jesus asked this young man, and what he's asking you and me today, is that we would be honestly and sincerely willing, that we would be willing to make the sacrifice, yes, that you and I would be willing to give up all that we own and all activities which occupy our time, and then exchange this for God as our first love in life. One might compare this situation and the call of Christ to commitment to the command of God to Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 22, we read that God tested Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, "Take your only son Isaac, the one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There, offer your son as a burnt offering." Of course, this command to sacrifice one's own child is much, much greater than asking you or me to sell all of our property. The Bible goes on to explain that Abraham obeyed God. Early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, and he took Isaac to a distant mountain. There Abraham built the altar. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. Next, Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took a knife to slay and sacrifice his son. But then suddenly an angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, "Abraham, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." This dramatic story, referred to repeatedly in literature and painted by artists in every century, this story represents God's supreme test of faith. The story of Abraham and Isaac also forcefully reminds us of the love of our Heavenly Father. You see, God the Father gave up His own Son as a perfect sacrifice. Jesus died on the altar of the bloody cross to pay for your sins and mine. And this is also the commitment that God has for you in spite of your past sins and all of your many failures. And now, in His grace, God is not asking you to give up your life or the life of one of your children. God is simply asking you to believe and to trust totally in the sin-cleansing and life-giving power of His Son Jesus, the Jesus who was slain and sacrificed on the altar of the cross. When Jesus was baptized, God spoke from heaven with a message for you and me. "This is my beloved Son," He said, "with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." This is all God is asking of you today. Look at your sins, confess your failures to Him, and listen and look to Christ for your salvation. And so, not out of fear or legalism, but out of love, we follow Jesus. With the power He gives us, we shove aside our many loves of this world, and as the rich young man was unwilling to do, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Yes, you and I can follow the Lord Jesus. But to be willing to give up all our possessions and to cling only to Christ requires more than the conviction of a New Year's resolution. No person, not even the most dedicated preacher or the most sanctified missionary, has the inner power to place God first, ahead of all worldly things. Only God can enable you and me to prioritize our lives. And this all begins when God gives us the gift of faith through His living Word. Through faith, God then gives us conviction, and He gives us commitment, and He gives us courage. In the Bible, Romans chapter 10, we read, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." Now, of course, there are those today who wrongly believe that as long as they sit through one sermon a week, or maybe even one sermon every 2 weeks, or every couple of months, then God is pleased with their life. Oh, my friend, if this is what you believe, this is a very dangerous attitude, and an attitude that tempts God, and one that has the potential of drawing God's strict discipline. And, of course, if you feel it is asking too much to listen to God's Word or to read God's Word daily, then think of yourself as a father or a mother. As a parent, you speak several times a day to your son or daughter. However, what if your children would decide to listen to your Word only occasionally? Maybe once a week or maybe once a month. It wouldn't be long, would it? Before you would become very, very irritated. You might even become quite angry. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. He speaks to us through His Word every day, and it is His gracious desire that you and I daily read and listen to His life-giving Word. We are also reminded of Jesus' words to the Pharisees. He who is of God hears the words of God. Now, of course, as we think today about the rich young man to whom Jesus spoke and how he was unwilling to give up his possessions, we are also reminded of those who give only a few dollars every year to the church or maybe even to the United Way. They have convinced themselves they are pleasing God. However, let's think about it. Maybe God is not really impressed. You see, the story is told of a man who died and went to heaven. When he arrived, he was shown around by an angel. They first looked at the beautiful mansions of heaven. Many were large and roomy and perfect places to spend eternity. Then the angel took this man who had just arrived in heaven to the outskirts of the heavenly city. There he was shown very, very small dwellings. They were barely large enough to get by. One of these, the angel told the man, is yours. But the man replied, I don't understand. Why do so many other people get large mansions, but I have to live in such a little place? Why, it's barely a hut. Well, the angel said, we built these heavenly mansions for people using whatever they sent up to heaven in prayers and gifts. This little hut is all we could make from what you gave back to the Lord during your lifetime. Now, of course, this is not a biblical story, but it does make a powerful point. There are many today who give little or nothing to the Lord, but if and when they get to heaven, they are going to be expecting a lot from Him. Oh, I know there may be some who feel it is not all that important to talk about commitment to Christ and to His church and discipleship, but I believe that God desires that we discuss this issue directly and that we do it now. You see, surveys done among college students in the 1980s showed that their number one desire was to make money. In spite of all this desire for riches, many baby boomers today remain unsatisfied. Is it any wonder, then, that the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in a special feature stated, many of the most successful baby boomers are discovering that their bank accounts are full, but they feel empty. And so then, my friend, the story that Jesus told about the rich young man and his desire to put riches and materialism and worldly things before God is a striking parallel of what is going on around us. Even if we don't earn a large salary, or even if we don't drive the latest model car, or even if we don't live in the most modern home, our limited worldly possessions, few as they may seem, still have the power to separate us from our Lord. The time we spend with anyone or anything is a clear indication of what is important to us. God is calling you and me to give up our love for worldly things and to return to Him. And you see, here is the important point. It is not that God, in a legalistic way, wants us to drudgingly follow Him for no reason whatsoever. Rather, in His grace, God desires, through the power of His gift of faith, that we place Him first, ahead of anything and everything the world has to offer. Because, you see, when we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do this, God then enables us to receive His many blessings, forgiveness, and strength, and hope, and the blessed assurance of heaven. My friend, in His love, God simply cannot fill your cup to overflowing if it is already filled with the things of this world. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.